Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a difficult time of the year for the Altar Guild. It seems like every Sunday we change the colors of the pyramids. A couple of weeks ago, we had red for Reformation Sunday. Last Sunday, it was white All Saints Day. Today, we're back to green. Next Sunday, it's going to be white again. And the following Sunday, it will be blue for Advent. It almost goes along with a patriotic theme of Veterans Day. For those of you who are trivia fans, today is considered to be the penultimate Sunday. It's the second to the last Sunday in the church year. Last Sunday was the anti-penultimate Sunday. It's the third to the last Sunday in the church year. Next Sunday will be the ultimate Sunday. It will be the Sunday when we celebrate Christ the King. Today, however, we consider this to be the Day of Judgment. There are lots of days that this day is called. The old Hebrews used to call it the Day of the Lord. It would be a day when we might say to those unbelievers, today is a day to repent, better late than never. As I prepared for the message today, I remembered a story that I came across at some point in my experience. It's a story about a fellow named Nathan Evans. Nathan was a preacher, and he preached alongside a road in the Arizona desert. He cried out to all of the cars that drove by, repent, the end is near. But somehow they didn't seem to listen because they were going by so quickly. And one day he came to a spot that was kind of a wide spot in the road. It was down at the bottom of a nice long hill, a nice level area. And in the middle of this area was a lever. And that lever said, on the sign attached to it, pull this lever to end the world. Nathan thought that was a good place for him to do his preaching because it went along with his theme for people to be ready as the end of the world was coming. One day as he was preaching, there were so many cars that had stopped that the road was nearly blocked. And just at the time when Nathan got to the final point of his sermon, a fully loaded 18-wheeler came barreling down the hill. And there was just no way that it was going to stop. And the driver had a terrible decision to make. Would he run over Nathan, or would he run over the lever? As the driver later explained to the highway patrol, pointing to the red smear on the road that used to be Nathaniel Evans, he said, better Nate than lever. Takes a while to kind of sink in. So today we consider the end times. We consider Judgment Day. The ancient Hebrews referred to it as the Day of the Lord. It was the day when they knew that God was coming to make all things right, to resolve all the problems of the world, to destroy all of the bad things that go on in the world, and to take all believers to heaven. In the Old Testament lesson, Malachi says, surely the day is coming. He's speaking to the Hebrews sometime about 400 or 500 years before Jesus came to earth. He says, this is the day when all the arrogant evildoers will be set afire like stubble. You probably remember the days when grass fields used to be burned that destroyed all of the pests and the insects that harmed the grass. Malachi says, not a root or a branch will be left of them. So as you think about that day, how do you see that day? What images of the last day come to your mind? Do you look forward to it with great anticipation? or do you see it as a day of great fear and trepidation? Do you see it as good news, or do you see it as bad news? Do you see God as a loving person who cares for his people, or do you see God as a person who doles out vengeance on that last day? Do you pray for that day to come sooner rather than later? Or perhaps, I think a lot of Lutherans are even hesitant to talk about that day for a variety of reasons. Malachi says it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a wonderful day. And he uses a rather interesting simile to describe that day. He says, that day is going to be like a young calf that has been released from its pen. I don't know how many of you are farmers who've released a calf from its pen, but we used to have horses over in Central Oregon. We had four of them, and we kept them in a corral at night. And in the morning, we would go out and let them out. And they would run as fast as they could, and it's amazing how high a 1,200-pound horse can kick his hind legs. But they did. They were joyful. The darkness was gone. They were going to get out and be free for the rest of the day and eat as much as they wanted. What a great day that's going to be for us. A day when the trials and tribulations of this broken world are going to be no more. Be a day when the wicked receive their just reward. Matthew uses the term several times in his text. There will be weeping of gnashing and teeth where those folks will be going. But we all kind of wonder, when is that day going to be? Will it be today or tomorrow or maybe next week? We anticipate it, but we don't know when it's coming. And in the gospel lessons, we read that the disciples didn't know when it was coming either. And so they asked Jesus, when will this day be? They're walking along in the temple, and Jesus has been teaching them. And they're admiring the beauty of the temple. And now this is Herod's temple we're talking about. And it was the temple that had been rebuilt, and then Herod added to it. It was a great and beautiful temple that these people walked in that day. And Jesus answers them, you think all this is great? The time is coming when not one stone will be left on another. When I think of a stone, I think of a stone I can hold in my hand. But he was talking about boulders. In the temple, the portion of the temple that remains today, there is one of those stones that's 12 feet by 12 feet by 45 feet. So that would be a stone that's about as square as half of this sanctuary. And this sanctuary ceiling is 35 feet high. Now, this stone that still remains is higher than this ceiling. That stone weighs, it's estimated, at over 1,000,000 pounds. It would be understandable that the disciples would like to know, when is that stone going to be moved, and how are they going to do that? Jesus goes on to them to say, there's going to be people who are going to come and say, I am he, and the time is near. If you do a search on the internet for predictions of the end of the world, there is a prediction somewhere in the world almost every year where somebody says, the end of the world is coming. We heard that in 2012. There were several times when people talked about the end of the world, and yet we are still here. Jesus says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and we still have wars, World War I and II in Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Afghanistan, Iraq. And there are earthquakes still. There was one this morning in the South Pacific. There will be fearful events, Jesus says. There will be pestilences and famines, and there will be great signs from heaven. And perhaps that's the only one that we have not seen, unless you consider when the sun is blocked out by the moon, that might be considered a great sign from heaven. You should know that all four of the Gospels say that nobody knows when this day is coming. And so when somebody tries to make you feel afraid, when somebody says, it's going to be October the 31st of this year or some other year, nobody knows. Any approach to God that talks about fear or makes you feel afraid is fundamentally flawed because no one knows that day. First century Christians prayed a word, Maranatha. It means, come, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer that we pray commonly before we eat. We say, come, Lord Jesus, and we think of praying, asking him to come and be with us as we enjoy the meal. But we're also asking him to come back to earth in that cloud that he has said he will come back when he visits us on the final day. We can approach God with joy and excitement and not with fear or trepidation. Now, that's not to say that there aren't things that certainly might cause us to be afraid. The breakdown of the family in America seems to have society headed in the wrong direction. The ice caps are melting and there's the possibility of floods being inundating entire cities. The Cascadia Fault is predicted to cause an earthquake of biblical proportions at some point here in the Northwest, and it will crumble overpasses and bridges and cities here in the valley and cause tsunamis over on the coast. There are things like the Zika virus and Ebola, which has the potential to cause massive amounts of loss of life. And then, of course, there has been persecution of Christians for most of the period since Christ has been back or came, and that will most likely continue. God, Jesus, warns of all those things that are going to happen. But I want you to be aware of what he does not say. He tells the disciples all of these things that might happen. But he does not say, therefore, be afraid, be very afraid. Rather, he says, make up your mind not to worry. Don't think about what you're going to say beforehand. I will give you the words to say, and I will give you the wisdom so that none of your detractors will be able to resist or contradict what you say. And Jesus goes on to say, stand firm in your faith, persevere, persist, continue, keep at it, hang in there. When these things begin to take place, Jesus says, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. And that's what we look forward to. So does that mean then that we will be unscathed in this world? Well, I wish I could say that's the case, but you know, we're all part of this broken world. It's broken and we are broken. And that's just the way it is. So while martyrdom is very rare, we still may experience difficulties and trials and tribulations because we live in this world. But we can face our future with confidence. There is no need for fear or trepidation. While we don't know what will happen tomorrow or next week or next month, we know that on that last day, because of our faith and because of Jesus' death on the cross, we will be taken to heaven. We can be confident and without fear because we remember Jesus saying in John chapter 16, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so we can confidently say these words from one of our hymns. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. O hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, Almighty Judge, and set us free. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.